You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to Wednesday. It is 1 week away, 7 days, 6 more shopping days until Christmas Day. And then you know what that means? We are celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul's over here wiping things off. do not stress. Do not be flabbergasted. Don't get flustered. Don't lose your cool or your peace or your salvation, as he says. Don't allow any of the stuff of the season detract you from the reason for the season, and that is to give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are in Florida. In the time that we have been in Florida, I have experienced some of the coldest temperatures during the 30 years we've been here around the Christmas holidays, namely Christmas Sunday. Coldest I've ever been in Florida happened on Christmas Sunday. And I have also experienced some of the most intense heat of winter around Christmas. I think I remember an 85 degree temperature on a Christmas day. That is, you know, like a 50 to 60 degrees difference in those two extremes. And that means that we have got to make sure that our air handling system is up to speed, whether it is the heating system or the air conditioning system. And the last thing you want is to run out of power or have a power outage on Christmas Day. And so if you are having issues, if you are not prepared for the temperatures that we are probably going to experience, then I encourage you to call the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Dennis and Carla and their team can get you fully restored to power. They can take care of your air conditioning system anywhere in Brevard County. Doesn't matter what type of system that you have. They will come out. They will get you back up and running. I encourage you to give them a call, 321-632-9538. That is Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H, Air. They are in Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538. They can come to where you are and restore you back to that temperature that you want to be at. So, and I tell you, we did some cosmetic renovations to our house. We painted walls and fixed some drywall and things like that. And what really surprised me, because I don't know why this is, but it has made the temperature in our house so much more efficient since we did those cosmetic upgrades, that I've had to go back and reprogram my thermostat to try and get it to a new normal. I'm really liking it for my electric bill, but I think it's going to be better for my air conditioner as well. So, by the way, one more thing, be sure and check your air filter and change that from time to time, especially if you've got pets. You want to change that frequently to make sure that your air conditioner or your heater has the proper airflow running across the system that it needs to have. So in Romans chapter 7 is where we're going to go today. I do want to remind you, we have church tonight, 7 o'clock. We've got youth service that takes place at 7, And we also have our adult Bible study, Leveling the Praying Field, tonight at 7. And then Sunday morning, we have church at 10:30. We do not have Sunday night service this week, but we have New Year's or Christmas Eve service on, strangely enough, Christmas Eve, December the 24th, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. And that runs till 7. And I am very, very aware of your time frame. And so we come, we read through the Christmas story, we sing Christmas carols, we have a great time, and we celebrate communion with one another, and then we go on our way to celebrate the Christmas season. I encourage you to come and be a part of that night. If you do not have a church home, make it a goal in 2020 to find the place that God would have for you so that you can thrive in your growing in Him and your serving in Him. Be a blessing to your community in 2020. Romans chapter 7, verse number 7, Paul writes this: "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." So a lot of people want to refer to the Ten Commandments. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of people. There are people who want to refer to the Ten Commandments as the Ten Suggestions. But what they don't realize is that it serves a purpose. The law, the Torah, serves a purpose. And Paul said, it came and I experienced the commandment, and it made known to me that I was a sinner in need of forgiveness. So it says here, "On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law." Right now, in America and around the globe, there is a tremendous assault on the Word of God. There are places that if you do not have the right version of the Bible, they will declare it to be an illegal Bible. They'll confiscate it, take it away from you, and throw you in jail. There are other places that are so terrified, I mean literally mortified, about the possibility of a broken and hurting society, a member of that society, actually finding a Bible and reading it and being exposed to its glorious truths, that they will not allow it in schools. They will not allow it in many, many places of society. They want to marginalize the Word of God and keep people, prevent people from being exposed to the Word of God. There are people who realize the potency of influence that the Word of God has, that it's so great that they will do anything to try and prevent people from encountering the Word of God. Why is that? And I think that one of the reasons is very simply is that when we become aware, or when we are come in contact with the Word of God, and we hear, "You shall not covet," it creates in us a spiritual awareness that we lacked had we not been told not to covet. Have you ever done something and you didn't know you weren't supposed to do it until somebody came along and told you you weren't supposed to do it? I had a person that did that to me one time. I was doing a little seasonal job. I had a staff at church. Finances at our church were not great. And so I had a part-time job so that my staff could have a full-time job. And so I was there during the Christmas season, and they put me out on Black Friday morning as a greeter. Now I'm pretty friendly. I can be in a pretty good mood even when I'm sleep deprived. And so I was out there, "Hey, Merry Christmas, enjoy your shopping experience." And I had this great thing planned. I'd gone through the employee orientation and everything. Nobody had ever said anything at all about that. Merry Christmas. You know, I'd been in retail for 12 years, something like that. And never had anybody have a problem with me saying Merry Christmas. 15 minutes after the doors open, the assistant manager shows up and says, "You can't be saying Merry Christmas. Oh, happy holidays." I didn't realize that I had violated, you know, their protocol, even though, you know, do you realize that business says that the American Christmas market drives the world's economy? It drives the world economy. And so it's not the other events that happen during this season that do that, but it is Christmas. And yet, at that point in time, people were saying, "Don't say Merry Christmas. You're going to offend people." Well, don't be offended. Don't be offended. Anyway, but when I became aware that the person that I was representing did not want that to be taking place, then I had to make a choice, and I either had to quit or I had to adjust to make them happy. So I adjusted, and you know what happened over the next several months is my influence with those people increased to where people that I worked with that weren't Christian. I encountered a lot of people that weren't Christians. I encountered people who were of a different faith other than Christianity, and they would call me Pastor Bob. I didn't insist on them. There I was just Bob. I wasn't pastoring anybody at that point in time in that place. I was just there. I thought I was just there for a paycheck, but my influence grew in that situation. And so my point in this long and struggling story is that I wouldn't have known that they didn't want me to do that unless they came and told me, "Hey, we don't want you doing that." There's a spiritual awareness when we open up the Word of God and the Spirit of God takes the Word from the pages and it applies it to our heart. He said, "I wouldn't have known what it was to covet unless the law had said, you shall not covet." Verse number 8 of Romans chapter 7 says this: "Sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire." He said, once I was made aware of that, then sin, the sin nature that I possess, started manifesting all sorts of these evil desires that was trying to get me to set my heart up on this and set my heart up on this and set my heart up on this. Now, when you look at Paul's life, you will see things like this, that Paul had a desire to excel above all of his peers. He wanted to be known as the best of the best of the brightest. He wanted to be very zealous in his pursuit of God. And so he was relentless. He wanted to be the most theologically pure that he could be. And so he persecuted anybody that wasn't right with God, or that he didn't think was following people or following the path of worship that he knew at that time. So this evil desire to excel and to covet and to be the best of the best of the best produced in him all sorts of evil desires. He had set his heart in all of the wrong places. And then he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. The thing with coveting is that we can be in such relentless pursuit of these evil desires that it will cause us to be blinded to the nature and the reality of God. Well, while Paul was on the road to Damascus and he had that vision, and the other people around him heard the noise, but they didn't see what he saw. He said, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, the prodding, that I'm trying to bring you into that relationship where the evil desires of your heart are replaced with godly desires." And so he says, "For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." I have a friend, he's a minister friend, and he describes that when he was growing up, he grew up in church, and he grew up with the message that I'm all right, you're all right, everybody's all right. And then when he became a teenager, he came into an Assembly of God church, and the preacher got up there, and instead of preaching "I'm okay, you're okay," preached, "You know what? You're a dirty, rotten sinner, and unless you ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and change your nature, you're going to split hell wide open." And he says that at that point in time, he realized the problem's not with God. The problem was with our sin nature. And he gave his heart to Jesus. He's a wonderful servant and a dear brother in Christ. And I love him to pieces. He said, "Listen, it says this, when sin revives, we die. When sin revives, we die." You do not want death ruling and reigning in your body. I remember the very first Christmas season that I did here on the Refresh radio program, I talked about how the holidays can be one of the most difficult times of the year for many people. If you've had a loved one who passed away, I've got a relative that passed away on a Christmas Eve. When we were ministering in another state, one of the young ladies from our church who was off to Bible college ended up dying on Christmas Eve in a car accident. Unfortunately, the tragedies of this mortality that we experience do not take a vacation during the holidays. And so there are spouses who are going through the holidays as widows and widowers for the first time. There are parents who are experiencing Christmas without their children for the first time. There are children who are without their parents for the first time, neighbors and coworkers. And it can be a very difficult season. There are people who, while everybody else is celebrating with the crowd, that they are very lonely during this time. And it gets to be a very, very difficult season. And if we're not careful, coveting will manifest even during that and saying, "I don't have what everybody else has, therefore I'm not going to celebrate the goodness of God the way that everybody else is because I don't have something in my life." This sin of coveting is designed to create a separation between you and God. Please do not withdraw during the holiday season. If If you are struggling, make sure that you get the help that you need. If you are, this is one of the reasons why I encourage people with regularity that if you do not have a church home, please, please find a church family to be a part of. You need them. They need you. And we can be there for one another. He said, in the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and it killed me. Okay. Coveting says my life is going to be better with this. I remember when when I was growing up, I remember my pastor making this statement about a certain industry that was advertising on television, and they would always say, you know, X number of easy payments. And so if you go and out there and they say, what kind of payment are you looking for? Well, you know what? I'm looking for a zero payment. And people say, oh, so you're wanting to pay full price. That's, it's like, well, no, that's not what, you know, I'm not looking for a payment that can be manipulated. I'm looking to know how much is this thing going to cost me? You see, a lot of people are looking to manage their desires, their longings, the things that they've set their heart upon, and they haven't factored in how much this is going to cost. God wants you to know this. He wants to come and deliver you. The devil's interested in deceiving you. God is looking to expose you to the truth. And I will tell you this, the truth is never threatened by exposure. Think about it. When have you ever done something good and you were afraid somebody else was going to find out about it? Never. But let me flip that coin on its head. When have you ever done something you weren't supposed to do and you lived terrified that somebody was going to find out about it? Coveting, it deceives you. It says, life is going to be so much easier. It's just going to be, you know, years of easy payments of your life, you know, and not realizing and not revealing to you that at the end, you are going to be heartbroken, lonely, and miserable. Men, God doesn't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. This may come as a revelation to you, but I will tell you this. The joy of having Jesus in your life will more than compensate for the stuff that you don't have in your life. I'm not a person that has everything. I don't run out there and get the latest and greatest when what I have is perfectly satisfactory for the job that I've got at hand. I don't want things to control me. I want to control the things that I've got. He says, it deceived me, it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. You and I today, we need to approach God's word on a regular basis and say, God, is there anything in my life that's displeasing in your sight and is preventing me from experiencing the abundant life that you have for me? God has good things in store for us if we will walk in obedience to his word. So this Christmas, I started off this series by asking this question, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? And so everybody's got their list. We want this or we want that or this other thing over here or this over here. And, you know, in reality, most of the time we don't have enough room for our own stuff that we've already got. We What we really need for Christmas might be a dumpster. That's kind of funny. We might need to part with some things so that we appreciate the other things that we have in our life. And I will tell you this. Stuff will never compare with the joy of having Jesus in your life. Jesus is greater than things. Jesus is greater than a car, greater than a house, greater than a once a year sweater, or that thing that you think you just can't live without. So I was one of the sayings that we've had around our house is, you don't always want what you think you want, because sometimes what you want comes with some strings attached to it that you didn't know were there, and carries a price tag, and has some accompanying baggage along with it that you say, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. If you are listening to this radio program, and maybe it's not covetousness, maybe it's another sin, and you say, Pastor Bob, there's something that came into my life when I allowed that sin into my life, and I wasn't prepared for that, and now it's got a hold on my life, and I want Jesus to come in and be the liberator and the deliverer that I need in my life. I want you to pray this prayer with me today. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you that you loved me so much that you gave me your word to reveal the things we should do and the things that we shouldn't. God, I've sinned and disappointed you. I've let you down. I've caused pain for you, caused pain for myself and for others. God, there's consequences that I was unaware of, and I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. And God, would you empower me by your grace and by your word to live a life of influence? Lord, a life of contentment with having you as my Lord, my Savior, and my provider. God, thank you that you are so good. I look forward to celebrating this Christmas with you as my Lord and Savior. God bless you. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, would you send us an email at meritassembly@hotmail.com and let us know so we can celebrate with you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Say.